So William asked me to do this, and my first reaction was, well, you know, I always hate giving talks when I'm in these bad moods. So I kind of was like hesitant at the first of the week. And then I thought, well, okay, maybe the week will get better. It didn't. But maybe I did, you know, and I think it just hit me. In a way, thank you, William, because I think the opportunity and the fact that I was going to actually had me thinking or in a mind that I was able to allow my thinking and preparation and some reading for this color and help deal with some of the stuff. So in some ways, that's kind of good. I Percy, the other, when he was speaking, talked about his faith life and tradition, and that inspired me to also do some thinking. And so I too am I'm a Catholic teacher, and and it's Lent, so I'm going to share some things about my Zen Lent. I don't give up much for Lent in a way that's the traditional stuff. I try to give up cursing at myself, but I've been trying to do that for years. And that keeps going back and forth. You know, I can talk incredibly negatively to myself in ways I would never talk to you, you know, and it's like, I try to catch that. And I always try to add stuff. One of the things I've added this Lent is, for some reason, I don't know, a week and a half ago, the old Blind Faith song, Can't Find My Way Home, settled in the back of my head. And so every night before I go to sleep, I listen to this song. And then I just turn it off and lay over. And it's kind of become this backdrop. It's almost become a mantra. It's in the sense of even just this morning, during the second meditation, I found myself sinking into this discussion. Not this discussion, one I'm going to have in about an hour with some other teachers I'm meeting. I was able to kind of stop that. And in the background of my head is the song. And it's kind of like just there and it's settling, right? Which has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but that's just kind of where I'm at. So I thought I would share a little bit. There's a line, and this came to me easy. It's in my textbook. I don't know where it comes from. I'm sure Sarah Zubik's quoted this, but it's one of the Zen teachers. You know, why are you so unhappy? Because 99.9% of what you do is you're thinking about yourself, and there is not one. There is no you. And you're just caught up in that. And that's me. Caught up in that self-centered stuff. And part of my hope in trying or whatever with what I do with the Zen, with our practice, with what I'm learning, what you guys are teaching me, and also with my faith tradition, is to try to let go of some of that. Because both of the traditions I embrace now talk about stepping away from that self-centered focus so much, you know, which is difficult. When I went back to school after being sick, I got back to school. It's like everything there, and a lot of this has to do with school, and that's also too, you know, that's just where I get stuck. It's all turned upside down. We have a new principal, a new administration. They're planning for next year. They're doing all this stuff. They're doing all these changes. They're jumping in. And that's where I'm going later today. There are several of the teachers that are, you know, my wife finds it amusing that we all get upset. It's like she comes from a corporate world where, well, this is how corporate worlds work. They make decisions. And if you don't like it, then you find someplace else to go and you kind of deal with that. And I go, well, you know, teachers are kind of different like that. You know, we are used to more collaborative kind of dialogue and the school that I come from, you know, for so long, has had that as at least its attempt, and a lot of the dialogue has kind of been there. So we're kind of used to that. We've also had a lot of independence. It's kind of that's kind of good. You know, people have left us alone and we've done our own thing in our classrooms and stuff. And now they're centralizing everything and they're writing up. There's like, we have this new guy who's all about data. you know, and he's writing up job descriptions and he's doing all this stuff and he wants all this information and they're doing all these things and we're recording all our classes and they're doing all this online. It's all that stuff. And some of us just find it amusing and some of us find it annoying, but it's becoming the new reality. Anyway. So I get back. My whole course structure for me is being changed, what is being offered. I'm not going to go into a great deal. I talked to Sarah about this. And at first I was real upset. You know, I'm in the theology department. I teach world religions where they're moving that into social studies. And they're and part of it is an internal fight with this bishop's curriculum that there are people that want to impose on the school. And I've been fighting for years to keep out. And so when this happens, I took it very personally, like, okay, I've lost. And I took it in this way. And I began to take that sense of this personal seal. And then it was like an opportunity. So I'm sitting there with this kind of, well, this could be a different opportunity. It could be this, it could be that, it could be good, it could be bad. And it took me a while to kind of make peace with that. You know, and Sarah, thank you, because you and I had a good conversation. I had a couple of conversations with someone else, and I was able to finally kind of come to, okay, this is going to be okay. I'm going to be okay with this. And part of it's about impermanence. You know, it's about change. And of course, that's the deal. There's several teachers, myself and others, older teachers, and they don't want things to change. We kind of like things the way they are, and we're okay with the way they are, and we just kind of want to keep doing the things the way they are, and there's a bunch of people that want to change things and do something different. And that's just how life is. And one of the gifts of the Zen teachings is that that is how life is. So can you just kind of like, okay, this is how this is. And can you live in what is, as opposed to that resistance to what is? And of course, I tend to live in the resistance. And I do it very well. and then I get all caught up in it, you know. And so anyway, so we had these back and forth conversations. And then part of it I came to understand is it was like I took it very personally, since, well, this is a loss of status. It's a loss of this. So I kept looking at it that way. And then I was able to kind of stop doing that and think about, and again, there were people who helped me see it. This is just a different opportunity to do this differently. And so why not embrace it that way? And I kind of got there. And then this week, you know, we're getting ready. And so Thursday I get this. It's like the change doesn't stop. It just keeps kind of going. And so this week there's been another level of that change that is now going to change how we do all of our extracurricular activities. And I do lots of those. You know, I've kind of over the years have put myself and I've made myself, I created or carved out or whatever, this position where I do these things. I'm the student council advisor. I'm the senior class advisor. And so, I do those the way that I kind of set that up and establish it. And I do a lot of stuff there. And so I get told, we're going to change all that. And it's like, oh, well, what does that mean? You know, because I'm right at the edge of starting to move into, I mean, springtime and stuff, we're planning and so anyhow, and again, this is getting to too much little detail, but so Thursday I get this email and I respond to it. And instead of being, you know, like the anger or the sense of loss, I just was overwhelmed with this incredible sense of anxiety. It's like, this is just not going to stop. They're just going to keep changing all this stuff. You know, it's like everything. And suddenly what I realized is that my entire position, place, stability, everything about my job is now just totally shifted. And I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, I don't have a lot of options. I'm 68 years old. I was planning on a couple of more years teaching. I was looking forward to the last two. Just let's just roll through this. Let's just kind of, you know, do this in a nice way, kind of step away from all the brouhaha. And suddenly I'm just like dangled in the middle of all of it. And it's like, you know, I can step away. You know, my wife is like, well, yeah, you just do it. You accept what they say or you can leave. It's like, well, I can leave, but then I go where? you know, I mean, or what? Are we, you know, I don't really have a retirement. Anyway, all that stuff. My wife and I are also in discussions about things. We have to move. We have to find a new place to live because the landlord wants this house back now. So I'm sitting there with all of this stuff and all of this insecurity. And it just was like trembling. Well, earlier Thursday, I was sitting out here on the back porch doing some reading before I started doing some work. And I was reading part of my Lent reading is this book that, you know, Sarah had recommended to me, When Things Fall Apart by the Zen Nun Chandran. So I'm reading it again. And I was reading parts of it. And there's this part in there, it was talking about compassion and living in compassion, you know, and trying to see the world out of these eyes of compassion. And I'm sitting there. And so Thursday morning, this is kind of engaging and it's snow is falling and it's really back. It's nice. And I'm thinking, oh, compassion. Yes. Let's live in compassion for a while or try, you know? And there's this practice and I'm a Tonglen, you know, So she was talking about that in general. And then there's this one chapter that's called, what is it called? It's, Going Against the Grain, where she gives these detailed instructions. And so I've kind of done this before, and I didn't really work on it, but I was sitting here Thursday morning, and so I read this, and it just, like, struck me. And I was like, okay, what if I were to sit here intentionally in this instruction or this mode and try to just allow that to be whatever it is? And so I did. You know, I actually, this is the first time I've sat on cushions since I was sick. I remember, by the way, my last Zen talk was the Saturday I was getting sick and I thought it was like a cold and it was the beginning of COVID. And so that turned into, anyway, so I haven't really sat on cushions since then. So I set the cushions up and I sat down here and I just tried to follow the instructions. And it's hard for me to do kind of guided. I don't do guided meditation kind of things well. Unless someone is actually kind of it. But as stuff rambling through my mind, it just kind of came to this sense of starting to think about the sense of being confused, the sense of being, of dealing with instability, which was still kind of there. And so I just kind of sat with this for a while. I don't even know how long. And it was really kind of a nice sense of meditation. It was kind of different. You know, and I thought about lots. I mean, I allowed lots of different things to kind of come through my mind. And the idea of trying to think of the suffering of others in particulars, and then to try to, you know, to breathe that in and to breathe something, you know, breathe out a more positive sense. I tried to just sit there, not necessarily manufacture it, but let it be whatever it was. And there were several points that came. And the rest of the day was kind of like, okay, I did some work and I graded essays and I did some stuff and my wife slept and I made breakfast, you know, I shoveled snow and I watched snow fall. It was one of those perfect snow days. We actually had a real snow day. It was kind of funny. You know, unfortunately with technology, there's no more school snow days because now they're all online school. And my students are like really disappointed with that. So my student council kid, I had a kid who went to the principal and said, what's it going to take you to get a real snow day? And so the principal threw out a challenge and said, raise enough money to feed a family through Catholic Charities by tomorrow. And so the kids collected $311 for a snow day. And we gave it all to Catholic Charities. And so Thursday, our students actually had a real snow day, and it was kind of tagged as this Catholic Charities, you know, Students Support Catholic Charities snow day kind of thing, which was kind of cool. And so nobody had to get online and have, you know, bad classes. So I just sat here all day and kind of did those work. And then later that early evening, late afternoon, came this email about all this other stuff. And everything flipped. And my whole evening was just this kind of I could feel it. I could just feel that tightening grip of anxiety, one of the things, and I kind of went back, this is another thing from the book, where she writes, and I like this chapter, and I've read it several times. There are three truths, traditionally called three marks of our existence in permanent suffering and egolessness. Even though they accurately describe the rock bottom qualities of our existence, these words sound threatening. And it's easy to get the idea that there is something wrong with impermanence, suffering, and egolessness. And she goes in and talks about how there's not. There's not anything wrong, it just is. And at the end of this, I actually sat down as I went to bed Thursday, and I sat down again and read this chapter. And at the end of it, it's don't take anything for granted. Don't believe everything you're told without being cynical or gullible. Look for the living quality of the Dharma. Recognize impermanence and suffering and egolessness at the kitchen sink level. And be inquisitive about your reactions. Find out for yourself about peace and whether or not it's true that our fundamental situation is joyful. Because her claim is that it is, and I have to say, I would like to believe that it is. I don't feel very joyful much. And I wasn't feeling very joyful Thursday evening, although Thursday morning I did. I was able at some point to kind of think about that sense and to say, so what is my reaction all about? And it was this, okay, at bottom level, the reaction is there's an incredible level of anxiety because you don't know what's going to happen. And you don't have, the whole financial deal. So this was like, in some sense, your job is being, you're not going to get fired, but you're going to end up, so it's like, I have stipends and this is my financial stability from my job and how challenging that's going to be. And it's going to be lessened and it's going to be, and parts of it are even threatened, and if I don't go along with it, then I don't have a job. And if I don't have a job, I don't have, so all those things, I don't have insurance. I don't have this. It was all going down the line. So it's like, okay, well, that's part of it. And what else? So to just be curious. And so that's what I did. I kind of sat there and kind of came to this sense of, so you're really just scared you're going to lose some stability you have. And you only have a little stability anyway. And, and in theory, you're always talking about how there is no stability. So why don't you just kind of realize that you live in this anyway? And chances are, the existential reality of stuff is not going to change a whole lot. And that's kind of what came around is like, what's happening here is my thinking reactions are creating the anxiety. Now, there is some real truth in the anxiety of the situations. But then there was this understanding of like, you might be able to figure out some other ways to check on things. And maybe this might, and it might not be nearly as bad as you're projecting. Because that's exactly what I did. I'm one of, my default is always when I click my computer on in the morning, my default is always it's half empty. It's going to be a problem. It's not joyful. You better be ready. You better be careful, and and this is kind of a whole different sense, but it's the idea of maybe you can just kind of like shift that a little. And I guess I'm sharing this in the sense of where the shift really comes here is a lot, I think, in the practice I'm learning here more and more, as well as, and I would say, in the faith I try to hold and the practice I try to live here and hold those. And it's like, okay, so the bottom line is that Thursday night after I listened to Can't Find My Way Home and turned it off, I was able to lay down and peacefully stare at the ceiling and go, let's just go to sleep and see what happens tomorrow. As opposed to laying there and creating the drama that was going to happen. And to think about all the responses and to have to plan out what I was going to say when they said this and you said this. And And I was able to kind of just let that go. You know, this idea of what this sense of you-ness or selfness or whatever it is we have. And throughout a lot of this conversation and throughout a lot of this thinking and planning for this, I think a lot of what kind of came to me was that you're still caught in projecting and defining yourself by these things that you do or the stability that you have. You know, and most of that's, it's just not going to hold. It doesn't hold. You know, I kept coming back to that. It is impermanence in the sense of it's just, there's just nothing solid there. You know, and yet you keep trying to hold this so tightly. Maybe that's the anxiety. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the issue. And if you just let go of that a little, maybe it'll be okay. You are not the only people who tell me that. I have an AA fellowship that tells me the same thing. You know, I have other people in other readings that I have to hear from the same thing. But I get a lot of the... I get a lot of the way to actually, I'll get a lot of the how to do that here, you know, and I was just, you know, sitting this morning as I was sitting here, because I was able to kind of just at one point sit here and stare out this window at the mountain and the trees and realize that this really is as good as it gets. And that's okay. Because when I'm sitting here in that and I'm not allowing the spinning stories to like interfere, it really is kind of joyful. And if that's what the bottom line is, then okay. And that is also the grace of this practice, I think, to be able to kind of find a way to live in that. And if you just get to live in that for 25 minutes at a time, well, okay. And then maybe that helps prepare a little bit as you go through the day to hold on to that. You know, you can't put it in a Tupperware thing and carry it around, but maybe you can breathe it, you know, and maybe it can help you breathe a little easier. You know, when the bottom does fall out, or you get that email and or that whatever goes on. I don't know. And I hope that makes some level of continuity and sense. I like the image of threads. So I like that we call these threads because it's an image that I hold to. And so this was a thread that I kind of was like thinking this week of those threads of you and all those you threads that you sling around. And anyway, there they are. There they are. There I am. Here we are. Thank you very much. I'm kind of done. Thanks, William.